Assuming you can see it through the haze, this is the time of year when the American dogwood is in bloom. This tree is native to both coasts, and it has changed little since the time of the dinosaurs. But the flowering is brief, and it asks our full attention when it happens, so we asked NPR's Ketzel Levine to offer her observations of the dogwood.
I was on my way to piano lessons early last week when I saw a transcendent sight, a naked tree balancing sunbeams on the ends of its arms. The effect on me was immediate. In a heartbeat, I was both sad over my losses and happy to be alive. Music often does that to me, so it wasn't that big a leap. When I found myself wondering, if a dogwood had a voice, what song would it sing?
Well, you know, the only thing I think of is that Rachmaninoff G major prelude. Don't ask me what opus it is. It's either 32 or 23.
And who better to ask that question of than my piano teacher, Megan Hughes.
It just has that association with me. It's just bursting at the seams longing.
Turns out she's been practicing Rachmaninoff's opus 32, as she does every spring. Like older women, and I'm speaking of myself here, flowering dogwoods do not suffer by comparison. Cornus florida has a grace, a subtlety, and a sense of style that makes the more voluptuous spring blooming competition look like tarts. Consider the double flowering Kwanzaa cherry, its flower clusters as sickeningly sweet as pink Hostess snowballs. The Kwanzaa is all Tijuana brass, the dogwood an oboe, a clarinet.
I'm thinking of the Mozart clarinet concerto.
The second person I popped the question to was author and fellow gardener, Alan Gerganis.
Maybe the version played by Benny Goodman, which sort of swings and it's Mozart at the same time.
If you look out your window right now, can you see a dogwood?
I can. And the early blossoms are this very sweet, clear chartreuse color. This is the virgin green. This is the, you know, the first green in the universe coming to life before it gets all hardened and dusty and divorced looking, you know.
I do know about divorced looking, in a dogwood anyway. When it's spent, scarred, and broken-limbed, you should have heard my piano teacher imitate the voice of her own dogwood, a blood-curdling cry. Gardener Paul Capiello, who just co-authored a new book on the genus, confirms that death by homeowner is a rampant dogwood disease.
They run out and buy one and bring it home and drop it in the ground. And most often, it gets dropped into what we in the tree world refer to as tree tombs, these sort of heavy clay compacted construction site holes in the middle of the front yard, when really what the tree wants is to be home in sort of a partially shaded, moist, woodsy, nice, soft, rich soil.
Paul Capiello chose Copland's Appalachian Spring as the song of his dogwood, but that doesn't work for me. My dogwood's voice is nearly weightless. It sounds like a celesta. Other than the dance of the sugar plum fairies, though, and that's out, I couldn't find the right celesta music. So I've opted, as I always do, for the piano. In this case, a romance by Gabriel Fauré, which, like the dogwood, holds the power to rekindle memory and replenish lost faith.
That essay comes from NPR's Ketzel Levine. You can see photos of the dogwood at npr.org.